when you think about the different fathers in the Bible and where to preach from, you think about all kinds of people, and obviously our greatest example is our Heavenly Father. But there are some men in the Bible that I think we can learn from. Like I say quite often, we can learn from everybody. You can watch somebody do something wrong and learn how not to do it. And that's what you need to do. Hey, I don't have to make the same mistake they did. I saw them do that. So guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to follow their example, amen? And so you can learn from people, and there's ways to doing that all the way through the Bible. And what I want us to do today is I want to learn from a man, and he took on a tremendous task. And I believe it was out for two reasons. I don't believe it was as much for himself as it was for obedience to the Lord and the love of his family. And I want you to think about what God asked him to do. It was a tremendous task. It was going to take more than 100 years to complete this task. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 6. I think about Noah, and I think about what he went through and what was going through his mind when the Lord told him, this is what I want you to do. Good grief, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. But look at what it says. We're going to start here with verse 12 through 15. Let's start with verse 8. And it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if you go up to verse 5, it talks about the fact that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Think about how bad that was. Everybody's thoughts was only focused on evil and how they can do wickedness. Look at verse 9 and following. And it says, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. That does not mean that he was sinless, okay? That means, talking about perfect in his generations, meant that he had a flawless heritage. He had a pure heritage. He was not inbred with any of the pagan religions or anything. He was right down from Seth, from Adam and Eve to Seth, right on down. Perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without pitch. And let's go down to verse 18. And it says, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. And let's go all the way down to verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for this great example. A great example because he walked with you. A great example because he found grace in your eyes. A great example because he lived to please you. Lord, I just pray for you to meet with us today. Let us hear from heaven and keep the preacher out of your way. Lord, let the Holy Spirit, the real preacher, speak clearly and freely to each of us. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage and I think about Noah and I think about what was going through his mind when he said, when God told him, guess what, Noah? I've got to make some changes. Now I want you to think about the day that Noah was living in. The day that Noah was living in, everybody was running after wickedness and filth and vile and just corrupting and the planet, and they were fighting and killing and all these things everywhere. You think we got it bad? Oh no. Not yet. Wait till the rapture takes place, then you'll see that. I hope you're not going to be here to see it. I hope you're up in heaven to watch down and look down from heaven's rafters and see. But the truth is, this place is going to be like that too. It's going to be bad, and it's getting worse. But I want you to think about how on earth would Noah be the exception out of all the people on the entire planet? Why was Noah different? There was something special about him, obviously, because God, the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, everybody can find grace in the eyes of the Lord, but guess what you got to do? You got to look. You've got to be what God wants to find that grace. And Noah was that one that God said, boy, if it wasn't for you, Noah, I'd just wipe this whole mess out. And he probably would. I don't see where he would have. I don't see anything that gives me an indication that the Lord wouldn't have started over had it not been for Noah. But I think about that, and I think about Noah when the Lord told him, said, Noah, I want you to, I got a job for you. And I want you to build this boat. And this boat's going to be about 450 feet long. Okay, as long as it's not too big, Lord, nice and narrow, that'd be all right. No, not quite. It's going to be 75 feet wide. Okay, as long as it's not too high, Lord, we can do that. Make a nice raft or something. No, not going to do that either. No, it's going to have to be 45 feet high. Well, as long as it's open, Lord, as long as there's nothing inside, I don't have to do anything inside, it won't take more than about 50 years. The Lord said, no, I want you to make rooms in there. Because you and your wife and your sons and their wives and all representatives of the animals. Now, I'm kind of different than a lot of people. I believe there were dinosaurs on the ark too. I believe that dinosaurs were baby dinosaurs. You didn't need a big one. You didn't need a 20-foot alligator on there. Just grab a couple of small ones, you know. God brought them to him. He knew what he needed. Noah didn't have to go out and get those animals either. You know that? God brought them to him. But I want you to think about what was going through Noah's mind and said, Lord, you see my calendar? I don't have any place on my calendar for this. I've got all these dates, preaching dates, and I've got all this work I've got to get caught up. If you see my honey-do list, good grief, Lord, I don't have time for this. But guess what? Noah made time. Noah said, yes, Lord. But why was Noah so willing to go and to become and do that task and to become that one that saved all mankind? Because every one of us in here, every person on planet Earth today and ever since the time of Noah has been related to Noah. Why? What made Noah so different? Because he walked with God. I want you to know something. There's something special about walking with God. There's something special because when you walk with Him, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be going in the same direction. You're not going to be going this way and He's going that way, or going that way and He's going this way. You're going to be walking together. When you walk with someone, you're walking at the same pace. You know what happens when the wife and I, sometimes we'll get to walking, sometimes going to get grocery store, go someplace together. When we're walking together, guess what we do? We talk. You know what Noah and the Lord did? They were talking. And I believe probably the Lord was showing, he was expressing to Noah his disgust and what man had become. And I believe Noah was saying amen every step of the way, because Noah understood and saw the same things. Why did he see it the same way? Hey, Noah was a man. He should have seen it the way the people saw it. No. When you walk with God, you see things the way God sees them.
Amen.
Because you have that input. There is no way for us to walk with God without Him rubbing off on us. There's no way for you to walk with the devil's crowd without them walking or rubbing off on you too. And that's why it's so important to make sure that we as Christians keep good company. We need to expressly tell the children and the young people and old people too. Guess what? You better keep good company. Because it always rubs off. Always. Noah didn't hang around these people. He was preaching to them. 2 Peter 2:5 says he was a preacher of righteousness. That's, I mean, to me it's kind of neat the fact that we put Noah here in that this early in the after the beginning, and turn around and go almost to the end of the Bible in the New Testament, to where we find out what his occupation was. I think that's interesting. God tells us, God knows the Bible fits all together. He knows what Noah was. He knew that Noah was trying to win people to Christ. He was preaching to them right. Can you imagine what kind of preacher he would have been had people really responded to his preaching? I believe, and we call Jeremiah the weeping prophet because he didn't see any converts. I believe there were a lot of tears in Noah's eyes too. Because he was a preacher of righteousness. That means preaching right. You know what we need in our world today? We need preachers who will preach righteousness again. Not go along with the popular opinion and the political correct garbage. We need preachers that will preach right, preach truth, preach sin, tell people that it's wrong for them to sleep together and to have sex outside the marriage, and it's wrong for our country to approve homosexual marriage and abortions killing babies and all these things. It's wrong.
That's right.
We're going in the wrong direction because we don't have enough preachers of righteousness today. But I'm glad that there was one in that day. Well, where would we be if it hadn't been for Noah? If Noah fell in with the same crowd? Nowhere do we see in the Bible where Noah's sons and daughters-in-law or even his wife were righteous. Now, I believe they were. Because for one thing, Noah had to have help building that boat. And guess who helped him? His three sons. I believe that the ladies were doing decorating inside, making up, getting the food together for the animals and things of that nature. And they were storing up the things that they would need. You know how much food you would need for those all those animals in that long period of time? You know how bad that place would smell? But guess what? Noah was willing. But it wasn't, I believe he loved the Lord, and I believe he would have done it just for the Lord, but in the back of his mind, there was another motivating factor. It was his family. I want to tell you something. I didn't become a preacher just because the Lord wanted me to, just because I knew that it was right, just because I knew that that calling was on me. It was because of my family. I knew my family would need somebody standing right. I knew that my family would need a preacher that shuck the corn and throw the cob at them for truth and tell them the truth. And if none of my family was to ever get saved, I'd be standing right there saying, Lord, I'm doing this for you, but I'm not just doing it for you. I'm doing it for them too. Because they need to know the truth. They don't have to accept the truth. But guess what? They're going to hear it from this man.
Amen.
And they're not going to hear it watered down. Got an issue in my family now because I told one of them the truth. Didn't like it, so he didn't believe it. But guess what? Should I lie to him or should I hide the truth from him? That's not me. I'm not a salesman. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear just to sell you on it. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to stand where I need to stand. And that's exactly what kind of man Noah was. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was squared up. He said, Lord, I'm going to do it. But I'm not just doing it for you. Lord, I love you and I do it for you, but I'm doing it for my family too. And when we stand up and we do right and we follow the Lord and we walk with the Lord and we obey and take on those tremendous tasks that the Lord calls us to do, we're honoring Him, but we're also honoring our family. You say, well, Noah didn't see anybody else get saved. No, but he saw his family. He saw his family saved from the flood. His grandchildren, we don't know. We don't know about the great-grandchildren. We know that a lot of, wasn't long after the flood that they were running in the wrong direction. We see that at the Tower of Babel. But Noah loved the Lord. He walked with the Lord. I'm going to go a step farther. He didn't just walk with the Lord. He didn't just love the Lord. He believed the Lord. You can't walk right. You cannot walk according to this book and not believe what it says. If you believe wrong, it's going to eventually catch up with you. If you got wrong thinking, it's going to eventually come out. I've seen it time and time again. I've had some people, let's say, oh, I believe the Bible, but I don't believe that part of the Bible. Well, if you don't believe that part of the Bible, then you're throwing the whole Bible out the window. If you're saying that this part of the Bible is wrong, then you've called God a liar. I know it's hard talk. But if he can't keep his word and his book doesn't say it the way he wants it, and he's well able to keep it, right?
Yes.
There's nothing too hard for the Lord.
Amen.
So his book is going to say exactly what he wants to say.
That's right.
Do you think he's got a master of the English language? I think he's probably mastered it. In fact, he's probably, I believe he's mastered every language, a lot of them that man has never heard.
That's right.
And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues, okay?
I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there, but hey, there's no need to speak in tongues. If the Lord knows what I'm going to say, the devil can't mess with it. He knows what I'm going to say even before I say it. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says that the Holy Spirit maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. That means you can't speak them. You can't even grunt them. But I want you to know, this book is God's book. And if you don't believe the book of God, then you don't believe in the God of the book. You can't have it both ways, or one way without another. They are tied together. I've seen it too, where a parent would say, well, I believe the Bible, but I don't believe this about the Bible. You know what that person is doing for their children and grandchildren and those that they care about? They're saying, well, if you get to pick and choose what you believe about the Bible, so can I. And maybe if you don't believe that part of the Bible, maybe I'm not going to believe any of it. Hey, have you ever noticed where one person slips from believing and living right like their parents taught them to, and the next generation slips a little bit, the next generation slips quite a bit more, the next generation, they're completely out of church, maybe even serving Satan in some way or another. But Noah, he believed the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He loved the Lord. But I believe he built the ark. And this is just my opinion. This won't cost you anything extra, amen? My opinion is he did it as much for his family as he did for the Lord.
Amen.
Because he loved his family. I want to tell you something. That's what's missing in our world today. We've got men that aren't men. We've got fathers that aren't fathers. We've got men that won't stand up for truth. We've got men that are mamby-pamby. They're more caught up, more focused on their video games and more focused on laying in and sleeping on Sunday morning. They're more worried about, hey, how far can I move in the corporate ladder? Focused on who won the ball game. They're focused on everything except for what kind of example am I setting for my children? What kind of example do my children need? I'll tell you a story. You might believe it, huh? When Sharon and I first got married, we had a small wood frame house. It was 24 by 28. It's the first house we lived in. Both kids were born when we were in that house. We lived there about 7 years, sold that one and bought the next one. But when I was in the shower, I'd sing. Can you believe that? And one of the songs I used to sing quite a bit was, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art." I would sing that in the shower. I just liked singing in the shower, praising the Lord and all. And I had a good time. It's real good acoustics, by the way. But the truth is, I was singing in there, and I'd do that, you know, pretty much every time I took a shower. And I got pretty nasty at the mines. There were times I had to take two showers in a day. But those walls were very thin. So guess what's going through the house while I'm taking my shower? "Then sings my soul." And so we got to church one Sunday. I don't believe Becky was more than 2 years old. And guess what we sang? How Great Thou Art. And it blew me away. She knew the words and she can't read. Where did she learn that? From an old man singing in the shower. Now I want to tell you that that hit me like a brick. Because God used that to tell me, little eyes are watching you. Little ears are listening to you. You need to set the right example. And I want to tell you something. That made a difference in me. That the Lord kicked me in gear quicker with that, I think, than anything else. But we've got fathers today, men today, that don't even care enough about the children to marry the mama. I want to tell you something. They're just moving from room to room, building to building, having children. I heard about a man not long ago had 15 children by 15 women. But guess what? What kind of children are those children going to raise up or grow up to be? They're going to be the same kind. To have a man, a godly man, as an example, you can't put a price on it. Now, I've got my faults. I'm a hard-headed individual. And there's one person that's holding back the amen, amen? But the truth is, I've worked real hard to try to keep a clean testimony. But I also get a lot of pleasure out of seeing somebody get saved.
Amen.
And I'm counting on the Lord to bring that back to my family.
That's right.
Because Galatians 6:7 is still in the book. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's going to come back. Even the world knows it's going to come back because they say what goes around comes around. That's just Galatians 6:7 paraphrased. But I admire Noah because he saw this tremendous task. Now, we can debate whether he was having hired day laborers to help him or not. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I know that all of it fell on Noah. And he was the one that said, yes, Lord. And what does that verse 22 say?
Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Not most of it, all. Now, what does all mean? All means all, and that's all means. Amen? When the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, he means he wants everybody to get saved.
Amen.
Not some of them to get that he created for the lake of fire because he's not going to allow them to get saved or have a chance to get saved. Here, Noah did everything that the Lord asked him to do. Everything. Can I say I've done everything that the Lord wanted me to do? I can't say that. But I've sure done a whole lot more than I ever thought I would. When the Lord said, Brian, I want you to plant churches. Me? You talking to me? I thought maybe you were talking to somebody else and I just overheard it, Lord. No. I want you. I said, well... And this is what Noah said. I believe this is what he said. As long as you go with me, Lord, we can do that. Can't do it without you. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Men, I want us to be the man of God in our home, in our neighborhood, in our family. People are watching you and I more than you know. And there are some of them. I see it a lot on the bus. I've seen some of the most repulsive individuals. They're definitely not raising their children up to be anything but reprobates. And it breaks my heart. I pray for those children on the bus. I pray for them when I see them. Because they're going to need somebody. Maybe one day you or I, or maybe somebody we win to Christ will lead them to Christ. You never know. But I'm glad that God chose Noah. And God didn't choose Noah because first Noah decided, Lord, I want to walk with you. I don't want to walk around with these devils. I don't want to be around these people. I don't even like hearing their language. I don't trust them. Lord, can I walk with you a while? I want to tell you something. That'll make a difference. That'll give you that peace that passeth all understanding. That'll give you that joy unspeakable. That'll give you that mercy that endureth forever. As long as you're walking with Him, you're going to see things that you wouldn't see otherwise. You're going to hear things you wouldn't hear otherwise. You're going to get a special insight. I'm glad. There was a day that I started walking with Jesus.
Amen.
I was glad Brother Matthew picked out in the garden. And he walks with me and he talks with me. I want to tell you, that's a special time. Don't ever stop walking with the Lord. Don't ever stop listening to Him. Don't ever stop reading His book. Don't ever stop talking to Him through prayer. He'll talk to you back through His book. But we sure need more men, godly men, men of righteousness, preachers of righteousness. Let us be the example that others need to see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, thanking You. Thanking You for Noah. Lord, I thank You for the preachers of righteousness that You've put in my path. And Lord, I thank You that even though You wanted Noah to take on this tremendous task, he did it for You. But we know also he did it for his family. And Lord, I sure do hope You multiplying more men that'll obey You, not just for You, but to set the example for their family. Lord, move in the invitation as You see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.